This is Elocution with your host, Elo Black.
This episode is a throwback to a podcast we used to do called The World of Science with Dr. Hans Berger. I did this show with a very dear friend of mine who is a licensed member of the medical community. However, Dr. Hans Berger is fictitious. Viewer discretion and sensibility are advised. Well, I mean, listener discretion, unless you watch this on YouTube. Anyways, please enjoy, be well, and above all, wash your hands. Thanks, pals. Hello, and welcome to another episode of The World of Science. I am your host, Genevieve Holcomb-Marcellus, and with me, as always, is the amazing, the brilliant Dr. Hans Berger. Dr. Berger, thank you again for joining me on our COVID catch-up on this day of April. Hi, Dr. Berger. It is April 19th, 2020. It's Sunday. And let's start with the really, really scary stuff. This week, there has been a total of 690,714 diagnosed cases. That is 165 more than 7 days ago. And now we have had a total of 35,443 deaths, which is 14,957 more in 7 days since we last talked.
Ooh.
Any chance that these numbers are going to start to drop or subside?
There has been talk of reaching a peak. The peak has been reached in the New York City. At least that is word of mouth. Now, to say that the numbers of other states or establishments in the United States have provided such numbers, I have not been tracking them. But the doctors and healthcare in New York, they have informed or they have made a statement that they believe they have reached the peak of the coronavirus, which is good news. Good news.
That is good news. There's been so much in the news and going around America right now. Let's get to it. A question that we all want to know. How does having a sequester to protect someone from being exposed to this deadly virus, how does that violate one's personal freedom in Ohio and Michigan?
Well, you have to, you know, all these people are kept from their beautiful beachfront properties, from their beautiful island resort. You know, the people of Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, all of them up there, you know, they feel they have been crapped on by America themselves, and they're going to resent that crapping again. We all saw this same lack of, liberty, as they say. So there was a complaining of the lack of liberty in 2016, or perhaps many years before, because there was a man with darker skin in the White House. So I guess you could say it made it a black house. So anyway, these people go out. They say, you're squashing my rights. You're squishing my rights. You're sitting on my rights. Okay, well, what are your rights? You have the freedom to say what you want to say. Who is stopping you from that? No one. You could say anything you want. Then you have liberty to peacefully assemble. Well, you are showing it now. And who is keeping you from doing it? Nobody. Your freedom to arm yourself in case the English want to terrorize us again across the ocean, in case Charles II wants to dig himself up from the grave 20 feet underground and want to take over America. You can arm yourself. You've proven that again over and over and over. So there's a lot of confusion about liberty, about rights being taken away. Now, when you think of the word freedom, you think of, oh, your hair is flowing in the wind, you are free as a jaybird, you don't have to wear any clothes in public, but you do. There are always rules to freedom, and I found, and you find this the hard way. When you are told or requested to stay home, it is to help another man, to help your fellow man. You know, they do call this the United States, but perhaps we are not united as individuals feel. What is the question up there is that, okay, they stay at home. Okay, well, they do their shopping that they need to do, then they go home. All the schools are closed, jobs or places of business that are not considered essential are closed. Okay, there's only one person to point a finger at. And I think they always point the finger at the government, because the government is the one that controls everything. But they forget that they have these state legislators who always make the rules.
Dr. Berger, speaking of state legislature, I read in my good friend Karen's blog that Greg Abbott has saved Texas. How did Greg Abbott save Texas this week, Dr. Berger?
Oh, well, there's a lot of word about him saving Texas, but he hasn't stood up to the proper villain that is killing Texas. But he's saving Texas by reopening, or there's a plan to reopen. So what he's planning to do is he's planning to, for example, surgical interventions that are elective, or elective surgical interventions are going to be allowed in the hospitals.
You mean elective surgeries, Dr. Berger, like liposuction and injecting one's face to appear as a mackerel? I understand. Go ahead.
Yeah. That is very important, because vanity has proven itself to be very important in times of pandemia.
Absolutely. So he has opened the hospitals for elective surgery. Now, Dr. Berger, I am not a doctor. You are. If one goes in for elective surgery, are they exposing themselves to the virus even though they're not near a wing that has COVID patients?
Yeah. They are being exposed in the sense that people walk all over the hospital. There are people maintaining equipment. There are people delivering supplies to the staff. And nurses walk back and forth from the lunch to the unit, to the MRI, to the CT. There are many people walking around everywhere. It is not only particular units that have the virus.
Yes, I understand, Dr. Berger, but tell us this. If certain businesses, elective surgeries are open, and we are still seeing approximately 15% rise in deaths. Now, is there more testing available, and that's why we're seeing more diagnosed cases, or is the infection spreading fast?
Well, I will say that the hot topic always seems to get hotter as time progresses. So with the testing, I would say after the 2 months where the testing has been the ultimate force, or one I would say something that has been the driving force of all this sequestering, I will say that more tests have become available. However, there needs to be taken into accountability. What kind of testing, what is it testing for, and what brand of COVID is the testing saying positive? Is it the corona that is being the lethal corona, or is it the corona that we've seen on the Lysol can since 1970? You know, the testing may say positive for coronavirus, but we do not know enough to know which brand of coronavirus is the culprit, I guess I could say.
Dr. Berger, with your medical expertise, do you agree with Dr. Oz regarding that it should be sanctioned that we should sacrifice 2 to 3% of our American student body to COVID?
That was a very, 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 very poignant statement that he made this week. Well, I will say this. When you have a doctorate in Hollywood, there's a lot of things you can say that don't necessarily correlate with the world of medicine, or I should say a doctorate of medicine. Not to say that he is a horrible person, because typically doctors that use their celebrity more for themselves than to care for others, they are horrible people. But Mr. Dr. Oz, we always have to make sacrifices. We always have to weigh the pros and the cons, the advantages, do they outweigh the disadvantages, vice versa. So when he says sacrifice the student body, perhaps he should have chosen his words a little bit better than the word sacrifice. There has to be a plan in place for the reopening of the school. Children have already been labeled as dumber than dirt because the system is failing all of them. But we cannot leave them out of school forever, because parents are not equipped to house school or homeschool. We've seen how the children from homeschooling turn out. They get tattoos and then they go crazy. They start doing drugs. They start sleeping with bedposts. You know, they just go crazy. So homeschooling needs to cease and desist. I said it back. The homeschooling needs to be left to the people that want to do the homeschooling. But there needs to be a plan where students need to go back to a school-type environment where rules are set that correlate with what is provided with the pandemic.
And what about Dr. Phil McGraw saying that more people are dying of cancer and car accidents, you know, hair dryer accidents, things like that? How do you feel about that, Dr. Berger?
Well, I've always wanted to tell him, cast me outside, how about that? Dr. Phil is a very interesting individual. He also has a doctorate in the Hollywood. Congratulations to him for that. But, you know, whenever an individual discredits a virus, something that could kill many, many people, for example, people say, you're more prone to get killed by a shark than you are flying in a plane. You are more prone to dying in your car from a car accident rather than throwing yourself headfirst into a concrete bed. And it's just a bunch of nonsense. One should never, never take the doctorate of Hollywood and use it to spread vicious rumors, vicious non-truths, that there is some precautions that needs to be taken in public generally, and there needs to be heightened protection or measures of protection that should be taken in a pandemic. I applaud these two doctors for their doctorate of Hollywood, but they need to take a step away from medicine and leave it to the professionals that have their doctorate in medicine.
Dr. Berger, tell us this. You said that the New York cases are slowing down. Do you think that is because of the sequestering? What is causing the slowdown, which is good news?
Well, what I will say is this. Fortunately, what is going on in New York is not what's going on in Ecuador or in South America. People are not being reached by the ambulances, and they're being left out in the streets dead. So those people are not tested, obviously, but they died in the middle of the pandemic from COVID-like, as you could say, symptoms. But in New York, you know, the people are staying off the street. We see the pictures of the square, of the Ellis Island, street, is that people are taking themselves home more often than hanging around and having sex and laughing in each other's face. You know, they're actually helping out because this is spread by droplets, as they say. So it's a lot of talking, sneezing, coughing. You know, when people naturally don't do that, viruses don't spread. So yes, the slowdown is from the work of the sequestering or the home, stay-at-home orders, all that. It is showing us that this is working.
Fantastic. And also, I had read there are certain places in America now where wildlife is just showing up in neighborhoods saying, hey, we own this town now. Have you heard anything about that? About coyotes not being afraid anymore, cougars sleeping in the road, things like that, because there's no traffic on the roads?
Yeah. You see, when you take out a lot of the movement and a lot of the loud noises, animals freely roam. There are always adventurous animals that go and explore. We are animals as well. We explore when something is quiet, like the scary movies. Why is it so quiet here? I don't see a killer, and then bam, they're back and they kill him. So with the animals coming out, it is natural because they don't hear the noises of the cars passing in the road. They don't hear the chatter of people. They think it is quiet. They think it is peaceful. They think it is safe. So I am enjoying watching the animals come out, but simultaneously, I am scared that when people start coming out again, they will not have the place to go, I guess, where they came from. But hopefully people will be nice enough to take them back to where they belong or lead them in the direction that they need to go.
Yes. And speaking of wild animals on the loose, Dr. Berger, what is your medical opinion of the recently found liable for being a jerk, Alex Jones? He had a reopening ceremony, and I think 50 people showed up. Is there a way, Dr. Berger, to lead them back to wherever they came from peacefully, not hurting anyone, but just to shoo them away?
Well, yes, it's sometimes some animals are difficult to shoo, but in that particular case, animals who follow the individual that is financially failing and in desperate need of to get finance, unfortunately, there is no way to shoo them because they are under this impression that they are in direct line of being shooed. There is this kind of thinking that the world is against me, the world wants to eliminate me, the world wants to eliminate my values and my life, which those thoughts are quite animalistic and, you know, should be best left to the cave then. However, no, the animals, those are going to be coming out, as you can see, when it's quiet. When it's too quiet, they go to some place where it's peaceful, they congregate, but unfortunately, these animals are where they live.
Absolutely. And Dr. Berger, with your political education and knowledge, who do you think Biden will choose for his vice president?
Well, you know, the man is so confused. I won't be surprised if he picks a banana for his running mate. But I will say this. He's got several options to win a popular vote. And the popular vote lies on the minorities. But there has to be a group or several groups that need to be persuaded. Because at the moment, they were only electing him, I will say they, as all of the minority voters. They were all elected Biden because the other person made a mistake. And the mistake costed him dearly, and so he departed. So if I were to choose one, Biden would probably be confused and pick Obama. But I will say he would probably be his best bet to pick a female candidate or a female person that has shown her face to be quite exceptional and owned her ideas to be quite exceptional. However, the selection of that lady will deter a very popular minority vote.
So what do you think, Dr. Berger? Should he choose Cher?
I could feel the light of love. Yes, well, if he picked his Cher, if Biden elects Cher, do you believe in light after love? That is all I have to say about that.
And Dr. Berger, tell us, where are we right now in COVID-19? Have we seen the worst, or is the worst to come?
Well, at this moment, our roots are showing. So what happens is a lot of more anger, frustration, just in time for voting season to come alive. But all of the hoopla with the open up the country or I destroy the lives of five children in front of me, you know, all this nonsense as soon as voting is over. I do believe we are at a heightened moment. I do believe the peak has reached us. We are finally seeing that the numbers in the hospital are not as big because of the stay at home. Mm-hmm. So now we can slowly go back to reality, but we have to be very careful. Everybody that is up in the Ohio, Wisconsin, in front of these houses or all over the state, they want it to be done now. Now. Schnell, now. But it cannot be like that. It has to be meticulous. It has to be planned. It's got to be careful, because if we have 800 people going into one tiny room at a time, we can spread the virus among other things. I do believe we are almost at the end of this long tunnel. The light will shine bright. Horrible choice of words, but the light will shine bright at the end of this tunnel, and we will be a-okay.
So, Dr. Berger, do you think that there is any chance that Joe Biden would pick Hillary Clinton to be his vice president?
No. I do believe that the Clinton, she has had her fail twice. She is, done and cooked a fork in her. But there is something that's very enlightening in these days of the pandemic. There are more deaths from COVID than her emails. Yeah. How exciting, You know, the shortbread recipes, it's just uncalled for a person who sits in the Oval Office. Nine, you should not know how to make the cornbread. You should not know how to make the shortbread. And after all, you should not be contacting anyone for any recipe when you are president of the United States. You're not meant to cook. Unacceptable.
I've noticed a lot of drinking happening. Do you think, Dr. Berger, that we will go from a nation of COVID to a nation of souses after this is over?
Good. That's a good word, South. There is a probability we will all be becoming alcoholics if we not are alcoholics already. But you know, this is such a beautiful thing that is going on now. All the drinking, the booze. Booze is a beautiful thing. It helps out with weddings, helps out with bar mitzvahs, helps out with murder. You know, booze can be a beautiful thing as the alcohol. It kind of reminds me of a story from history I once read. As the war in 20s, you know, where the stock market was going down, people would party, money was being taken out of banks because of the failing stock market, you know, and then they invited prohibition because people were drinking too much. Oh, it's hopefully a story that doesn't repeat itself, you know, with the stocks going down, people wanting to party and have fun, people wanting to drink. Oh, I should hope that they don't take away the alcohol. Otherwise, there will be dead spouses after that. Unacceptable.
And Dr. Berger, speaking of celebration, how do you feel that the high school age children, the 16 through 19 year olds that are graduating this year that don't get to have graduation ceremonies, proms, after parties, how do these kids cope with not getting to celebrate these milestones of their life? It's a big milestone.
Yeah. These are the milestones that we all hear about in the movies and stories, and our parents always saying, get up and get your education and graduate. Don't become a filthy piece of crap. Yes, it is quite sad. And I like that the people on the line of the media that is social, that they put their senior graduation photos on to help celebrate, you know, to help these kids feel better about graduating and knowing that they are not having the ceremony. Mm-hmm. But I can safely say that the seniors, the last thing they want to see is our photo from our graduation day. What they do want is to be left alone. Now, there is something about the psyche of society, particularly the society of the United States, that you have to have these celebrations in order to make it official. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to have the black cap and gown because that means I made it. I am important. I graduated. I survived all high school shootings in marches of the past 4 years. Good. Oh, I have to wear this beautiful gown to the prom and show these young supple breasts and these legs that I got from running. And the boys have to wear the tuxedo and get laid. That's what it happens on the prom night. All of this leads us back to the word of vanity. We mm-hmm. want to feel good about ourselves. We want to see ourselves pretty. We want to see ourselves in good faith, in good humor. What I do say, it is very sad, but you will be fine. These two shall pass. You can always have a graduation ceremony through the Zoom, or you could buy the cap and gown, take the photograph, save yourself $200 from the cap and gown, save yourself $2,000 from the prom night, limousine, hotel room, corsage, makeup, hair done, tuxedo rental. You know, you got to think of the positive. All these people are going to be saving thousands and thousands of dollars, but the feeling they want to keep with is the most amazing thing about the American society, that money is what makes people feel good, that they are not feeling good enough about their accomplishments. Unacceptable.
And finally, Dr. Berger, can you leave us with your favorite sequester drink recipe or your favorite drink overall?
Yeah. I have come to appreciate a good Manhattan. In honor of everything going on up in the wonderful state of New York, a Manhattan with the rye whiskey, rye like the bread, with the little maraschino cherry, little red one in there for color and flavor. I would say the Manhattan breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Then you make an extra one roughly around 6 p.m. and clap for the Manhattan while you clap for the healthcare workers that are doing such a wonderful job all across the United States. Well done. Cheers to you all.
And cheers to you, Dr. Berger. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Elocution with your host, Ello Black.